Today, the title of our message is Be Free and Live. Could have went with Slaves to Sin, Free in Christ. I just want you to know that I'm honored and privileged to be able to stand before you today and share a message. I'm also glad that you're here today, whether you're here in person or you are here online. This has probably been our largest group of people in a long time. It's amazing. I was looking through my Time Hop this week. If you don't have Time Hop, it shares with you what has gone on in your past life. So for me, it goes back through all my social media and all the pictures I've taken on my phone. And this time last year, yesterday, there was a group of about six or seven of us here, and we were recording a message for Sunday because the world had shut down. It's amazing what 2020 and now 2021 has brought us. Devin, he says he's out of town this week. I don't know if that's true. His beloved Tar Heels were blown out in the NCAA tournament. I think 20-something points. Guys, I really think he's in hiding, is really what I think it is. And some of you are laughing, but I just want you to know, yes, Alabama fans, there is another sport besides football. Yeah, some of you are clapping. You don't even know what sport I'm talking about. All right, moving forward. So today we're going to look at a lot of scripture. We're not just going to land in one place. I do want to start off in Revelation 21, 1 through 6, if you want to turn there. Today, as we go through scripture, you may want to write down the scripture so you can go back and study it during the week or today. But today's message is very pertinent in our society today. And I want you to know, church, that there is hope. Anybody need hope today? I know I do. But I want you to know something. There is a battle going on right now. Whether you see it or not, whether you're participating in it or not, there is a battle going on around you. You are in the midst of that battle. And today we're going to discuss the hope that we have in Christ, the hope that we have moving forward, but we're also going to discuss the enemy, what he's up to, his tactics, and the battle that we are in. You see, in a world that is, there's so much going on in the world today, and it's very political, it's polarizing, but we have hope in the person of Jesus Christ today. Would you agree with me on that? So when we're talking about being free and living, we must discuss new life, the new life through what Christ has done, through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. So let's look at Revelation 21, 1 through 6. And I'm really reading this to you today because we need some hope. It does apply to what we're talking about today. But it says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things, they have passed away.' And then he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment.'" That's a good word right there. We could probably just stop there. Go ahead and let you go to lunch. Probably not even lunch, brunch. That's really good. But listen to this. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Wouldn't you like that? "And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore." Listen to this last part. "To the thirsty," in verse 6, "I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Church, today, he has given to you, and you can be free. And it's not payment that was done on our behalf. It was payment done on Christ's behalf. So in Christ, there is freedom. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. Don't go ahead and start flipping, because there's a lot of verses. You'll be burning up your pages today, okay? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we're talking about freedom, right? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are free. And then there's John 8:30-36. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews and who had believed him, the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Well, we know that's not true. How is it you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's look at more verses about freedom. Acts 13:38-39. Acts 13:38-39. Really like this one. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. This is not something we can do on our own. It's not something that Moses could do or Abraham or David. It's only something that Jesus could do. And in that verse, everything. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything. Right now, you've probably got something on your mind when you think about that everything. Is it pride, possibly? Is it gossip? I know nobody in here would gossip about somebody at work. I know it. I know you wouldn't. Talking to myself here, too. Maybe it's money. Maybe that's become an idol for you. Maybe it's some sort of sexual sin. Everything. He's freed us from everything. And then Romans 8:1-2. We're going to come back to this one later, but I want to go ahead and read it now. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And then Romans 6:23. We've all heard this one before. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, those are some good scriptures. I thought I'd have somebody at least stand up or say an amen, or, you know, I don't think we're quite the running around church, but, you know, I could see somebody back there doing it. Dr. Beach, I'm just kidding. So we are free in Christ because of what Christ has done, right? Everybody tracking with me so far? What are we free from? Do you even know what you're free from? From the penalty of sin. That's right. Someone just said it. And that's what we just read in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, again, nothing you did, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, you and I, we were on a path to be eternally separated from the very presence of God, but Jesus intervened. This was the eternal penalty of our sin. Thankfully, the story doesn't end there. You see, Paul in 6:23 states, here is the gift of God, and it is eternal life in Christ Jesus. When Jesus sets you free, he takes away your death sentence. Isn't that good stuff? The penalty you deserved has been removed, and now you have eternal life. He literally changed and shifted your eternal destination. You were set for hell. Now you're free in Christ. You can live. And there's heaven coming, but guess what? You can live right now. Nothing wrong with living right now, right? He has freed us also. So not only has he freed us from the penalty of sin, he has freed us from our guilt and shame. Anybody ever in this room felt guilty or felt shame? Maybe you felt it this week. Maybe you felt it on the way here this morning. You could be sitting here right now and feeling it. I didn't ride with Luke to church this morning, so I have no guilt or shame. He's my son. Because you know how it goes with your kids in the morning. Get dressed. We got to get to church. Quit talking. I'm just trying to think. You know, those types of things. So I don't have to worry about that. I did yesterday, so I have a little bit of guilt and shame from yesterday. But he has freed us from our guilt and shame. This is one of the biggest weapons our enemy, Satan, has that he will try and use. It's a guilt and shame you from the sin of your past. Let me tell you something right now. There is no sin that is too big for Jesus Christ. He's going to encourage you to look back on those shameful moments. He's going to encourage you to think about them. Satan, the enemy, will. And when you do, you might be overwhelmed by guilt, shame, condemnation. And ultimately, this will strip you of your joy, rob you of your peace, and just, it might destroy you. But there's good news. We have been set free in Christ. Then we have the freedom to live. One of the reasons it's important to understand that you are free from bondage, the penalty of guilt, of sin, is because it now increases your capacity through Jesus to love, to have joy, to experience peace, and to enjoy life. James 4:8 says this, "Come near to God and He will come near to you." This is the essence of what Christ has freed you to. God wants a close fellowship with you, and the only way that happens is by Jesus freeing you. This allows you to build that relationship without fear or worry. You can enter God's presence with confidence because you know He wants you there, and the hindrances have all been removed. This truly is living free. And then the last thing is, He has freed you to serve. Now, there might be some other things. They're just the points I've got today. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So He has freed us to serve. One of the reasons Christ has freed you is because He has work for you to do. So once you come to know Jesus, you have work to do. You don't do work to get to Jesus. You do work because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Does that make sense? Because if you do work to be saved, then you've done that in your own righteousness. It's self-righteousness. You can't be saved by your works or what you do or how much you pray or how much you read the Bible or how good you are every single day or how much you strive to make good decisions. That's not how it works. You're saved through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, the Holy Spirit will say, "Hey, man, look what Jesus did for you." And then you're going to ultimately go out and work and do because of Jesus, not because you're doing to save yourself. That's not how it works. However, this is going to be difficult, right, to achieve, to serve, to achieve this plan if you are running around with a guilty conscience, right? And Jesus, He has wiped that out by His work. When you do this, you're always trying to prove yourself or win the approval of people. The work that Christ has set out for us to do is to expand His kingdom and make His name large, right? To bring glory to His name. Remember, you are saved by grace. You live by grace. And God will accomplish His plan in your life by and through His grace. Christ frees you so that your activity doesn't flow out of some sense of trying to win God's approval. Now listen to me, church. This is all wonderful news. We have been offered new life in Jesus Christ. You are free from sin. You are free from guilt. You are free from shame. He has freed you to serve and to share the good news of the redeeming work of Christ. And He has freed you to live. But here's the thing. Hear me. You're in a battle today. We're talking about how Christ has saved you. And I don't want to be mean, and I'm not being ugly, and I'm talking to myself because I do it every single week. I sing on stage. I sit back there and listen to a message every week. How excited do I get about that? We are so numb to it because we hear it so much. And I think the enemy is lurking, and he's prowling around, He is trying to lure us to sleep. He's a liar, a deceiver, an accuser, and he is divisive. And I don't know about you, but when I take a look around, I think the enemy appears to be doing a good job at lying, deceiving, accusing, and he's definitely dividing us as humans. Now look, I'm living with my in-laws now. No, don't pray for me. And Dave and Donna, if you're watching, I love you. Incredible people, they really are. But something that's changed in my life over the past couple of months is that we are now watching the news more. I never watched the news prior to living with my in-laws, right? How many of y'all watch the news every night? Oh, there's more of you than that, right? Or you're scrolling through Facebook and you see everything, or Instagram, or TikTok, whatever it is. Not going to judge you if you're on TikTok, not judging. But here's the thing. When I've watched the news, what I've noticed is, man, there's a lot to be divided about right now. And that's what the enemy wants. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. You see, listen, the war is over because Jesus has won. Would you all agree with me on that? Amen. Yes, you'd agree with me. But there's still battle raging. It's not over. We are living. We are alive right now. And we must know our enemy and know what he is trying to do, how he's trying to get at us. All right? So the enemy has a plan. The enemy wants to accuse. He wants to deceive. He wants to kill. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy. He wants you to think that other people are your enemies. Let's look at some scripture here. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That enemy, he doesn't sound too strong, does he? Yeah, he is. Look. You ever been around a roaring lion? Not me, like the caged ones up at UNA. You know, I've seen those. But look, if that thing was on the loose, I'd be running and tripping you so I could get out there faster, right? Like, I'm running. I'm out of there. 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11. Pay attention to this. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. Listen, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. He is a devil. The devil is prowling around like a lion. He is trying to outwit and outsmart you. And then here it says, he has designs. He has plans. Church, as I was preparing this message this week, I'll just be honest with you, I knew it was for me. I know that's said a lot when people are up here standing, or anyone, if you've been to church, you'll hear that a lot. Listen, I mean, it's really true for me this week. And I'm going to be honest with you, my prayer for myself this week, this morning, yesterday, all day yesterday, is that I would wake up. Why? Because the enemy, he's out to get me. He's out to get you. He's out to get us. And for a lot of us sitting in this room today and maybe that's listening, you are simply going through the motions. He's outwitted us. He's got us sleeping right now. And he's got us on autopilot spiritually. Spiritually asleep, or even worse. Some of us, it might be so to the point that we are almost spiritually just checked out. We are so out of touch and so far from surrendering to Christ because the enemy has rocked us to sleep. The enemy has been going, he has us going through the motions. The enemy has us distracted. The enemy puts things in our way and he tries to outwit us. He tries to trip us. He tries to deceive us. And guess what? He just straight up lies because he's a liar. And here's the thing. Think about this. He has had thousands and thousands of years of experience at this. He knows what he's doing. He can outwit you. He can outwit me. Now, we've got Jesus, right? So don't forget about that. We're going to get there. Hang in there. Here's the thing, though. He's putting you to sleep. Listen to this. You got that promotion. Man, things are good. Shh. Right? Look, don't worry about living for Jesus. Everything's good. Don't worry about sharing that word with your brother or sister around you. Don't worry about that lost person in your in the place that you work or your neighbor. Don't worry about loving them. You got that promotion. Shh. That sin you're living with, it's not so bad. Mm-mm. Shh. You've been living your best life. You seen your Instagram feed lately? Woo! You're getting a lot of likes. Look at your stocks in that portfolio. Looking really good. You're a better person than that person who sinned or who is living life like that. Man, did you see how they fell apart? You attend church every week and you tithe, Ross. You are good. You're set. Did you see who won the election? Distraction. Did you see who won that game? You see how amazing your child is at fill in the blank? You see how busy your schedule is this week? Idols, right? Not focused on the right things. Consuming your life with so many things that don't really matter. He's trying to quiet you. He's trying to quiet your witness. He's trying to quiet the work, the redeeming work that Christ has done in your life. And unfortunately, we just allow it to happen. You see, listen, here's the thing. Sitting in church each week, watching online each week, guys, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not going to save you, and it's not going to prepare you for the battle that you are in. Will it help? Yes. Being here and being active, we've got to be here. We've got to be active. We have got to be in community with one another. We have to be intentional about those things, right? It's not going to save us, right? Jesus, his redeeming work, going, that's how we are saved. But to fight this battle that we are in and to fight for our brothers and sisters, to fight for people that have not come to the faith yet, we have got to be active. We've got to be intentional. We've got to be following the Word of God. We've got to be living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ, loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbors. It's the greatest commandment. We must do it. Living in his righteousness, not living in our own self-righteousness, because the enemy is lurking. He's out there. He wants you to be inactive. I encourage you today. I implore you today. Be active. Don't let him silence you. There's one more thing we've got here. Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. I read this because of that word, the deceiver of the whole world. Listen to me. Here's one of the ways that the devil gets at us, and we may not even know it. But he does. The enemy wants to accuse you and other people around you and people groups around you, right? And he wants to use these ideas and these thoughts, and he wants you to agree with them, okay? So let's talk about you and your personal life and how this may work. The enemy may say to you, and then you start believing it, you can't pray or you don't even know how to pray, right? And we buy it. I don't know how to pray. Let Devin do it or let Alan do it. They sound so pretty and so eloquent when they pray. No laughing there. Listen, can you talk? Yes, you can. Can you say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Help me. Yes. Well, listen, if you can do that, you just pray. All right. I'm not talking about praying out loud when you're in a group. I mean, sure. I'm talking about just when you're there with the Lord. Listen, don't let the enemy deceive you on thinking you can't pray or that you've committed some sin, that you are so far from God that you don't need to talk to him. And that's what prayer is talking with God, right? Don't let him deceive you. That enemy, he's a liar. Or he'll say to you, hey, you can't read the Bible because you can't understand it, or you can't share the good news because you don't know how to talk about it. Can you read? Can you listen to the Bible on your phone? Can you download a devotional? Yes, but Ross, I don't understand the Bible. That's the devil again. It's Satan. He's talking to you, right? Don't believe him. Listen, you may not understand parts of it, but can you pray and ask God, hey, help me to understand this? Can you get into the Word? Yes, you can. Don't believe the enemy. He's accusing you of things that you can do. And some of us, we've agreed with him. What about telling others about Jesus? Oh, man, the devil will say, the enemy, Satan, you will sound like a weirdo. You sound like you're out of your mind if you tell someone about Jesus and what he's done. The enemy, he's accusing you, and you are buying it. And you know what? Listen, it may sound a little bit foolish to people in this world when you are talking about Jesus, but guess what? What the world considers foolish is strength and life, right? Yeah, it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but let me ask you something. The gospel, is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it is. And let me ask you another question. Was it uncomfortable for Jesus to hang on a cross, to be there alone, to be stripped naked, and to die for you? Was that uncomfortable? Absolutely it was. Listen, don't buy into the lies and accusations of the enemy. He's a liar. Here's another thing he will tell you. Another lie and accusation from the enemy, and he wants us to believe it. You can't go back to church. You can't go back to God. You can't go back to people. You don't need to be around them because of that sin you just committed. There's no forgiveness there. The enemy will say that. No, don't go there. You can't bring that before God. But that's all a lie because our God, he's full of mercy and grace. And it overflows, right? He overflows with love for you. He loved you so much that Jesus went to the cross that you might have eternal life through him, resurrection life. In John 10:10, let's see the discrepancy between the two. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Do you see the difference here? Jesus wants life. He wants to give you abundant life. The enemy, he wants to destroy your life. So if you see things happening in your life or directions that you're going that's destroying your life, watch out. Believe Jesus. Know the enemy. Know his tactics. Know he's after you. Know he's out to get you. But know Jesus is greater. And don't forget who you are in Christ. I think some of us, we fall asleep and we forget who we are in Christ. So we're going to skip here to 2 Corinthians 5:17. What are we in Christ? We are a new what? A new creation. That's right. We know these things. It's been ingrained. We've read our Bible. If we've been to church, we know we have new life. We're a new creation in Christ, and we cannot forget that. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I'm going to read that again today. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." You are a new creation in Christ. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what Jesus saved you from. And don't forget about the work he has done in your life. So slaves to sin, free in Christ. Listen, we have a sinful nature. I think we all know that. But Christ has intervened. Only he could. We cannot do it. We've talked about this today. His righteousness, not our self-righteousness today. So let's look at Galatians and then Romans again. Galatians 2:19 through 21. "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And then Romans 8, 1 through 2 again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So let's talk about this just a minute. And then I've got some practical application here. A situation I want to look at with you. Some scripture and we'll close. Listen, in these two scriptures, there's a lot of talk about the law and some talk about sin. So what does it mean? What is a law of sin in these scriptures? In other words, it is a power or an impulse or principle that is at work in our bodies that makes war against us to draw us to do evil. This is the enemy, right? It's part of our sinful nature from the very beginning. However, as these verses also say, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Sin no longer has dominion over us, since we are not under the law, but under the grace of God. There is nothing you can do to set yourself free like we talked about. Christ did it. Christ died once and for all. We do good works like we talked about because we have been set free. We read the Bible. We get ready for the fight with the enemy because we have been set free. We do because of what he did. We do not do things to set ourselves free. You cannot do that. Only Christ can. Only what he did can set you free. Let's look at a scenario now that describes how the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ from the law of sin and death. So suppose you're on trial in a courtroom for a capital offense. Your life, it hangs in the balance. A guilty verdict will mean death, and a not guilty verdict will mean freedom and life. And suppose the judge says to you, there are two ways we can deal with this. I can acquit you right now, decisively, and release you so that you can go and live free. Live a free and joyful and loving life that shows you really are not a rebellious, crime-loving lawbreaker, though you have been. Or I can postpone the trial. And the verdict for several years and assign you a parole officer to watch you all that time and let you go out and prove yourself to the court by your life. And then have the trial after that and base the verdict on whether your behavior was satisfactory or not. Which one would you like? Would you like just to be set free? Or would you want to be based off of your life and the way that you're living? There is a difference in these two options. In one case, you are free from condemnation and with gladness live a life that shows the wisdom and mercy of your judge. In the other case, you have the trial always hanging over your head. Wouldn't that be a lot of pressure? And the basis of your future verdict will be on you and your behavior and whether you've measured up. Brothers and sisters, understanding the difference between these two is very important in your life. It's about freedom in Christ that he offers you, and it's free. It's a free gift. It's not your own self-righteousness where you do. And that's what this scenario talked about. You see, the enemy, he wants us to believe that it's about what we do. The enemy, he wants to lull us to sleep from what we've heard or the sound doctrine that we've heard and we've received, right? He wants us, listen, we're in the West. We've got churches everywhere. Are we really persecuted for our faith in your day-to-day, I would ask? I don't think so. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East, and in places in Africa and in China, they are literally dying today because of their faith in Christ. And we get lulled to sleep by stuff or by a promotion or by money. Listen, these things, they're not inherently bad, but the thing is, they will close our eyes And we've got to wake up. There's a battle going on right now. And that battle, what hinges on that battle is not just our lives, right? But the kingdom of Christ. Like, his kingdom's going to be fine, but look, our children and our children's children, right? It's in balance in this. Listen to me. Everybody got a device in here? Well, listen, our kids, they have devices too, and they have access to it, right? They go to school with, at least my child, he's young. He's kind of got a device. He's got an iPad. But listen, here's the thing. We can easily get on Facebook, Instagram. We can get on TikTok. And we can hear one-minute blurbs and videos and listen to it. And we could real quickly be deceived because the enemy has put someone on there who's got some degree in religion. And he says something that's against what the Bible truly says. Oh, that's sin. That's okay. God loves those people, but nowhere does it really say that this is a sin in the Bible, right? And our kids, because they are not grounded in reading the Word, they don't know any better. And then they start to believe these things. And if we're not careful ourselves, we will, because we're falling asleep, right? Shh. We're falling asleep. We're not in the Word as much. And then we're watching the news, or we're looking at Facebook, or whatever these things are, right? And the enemy, he's slowly creeping in. We've got to be careful. We've got to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Let me tell you something. If you don't live your life by reflecting on God and what he has done for you, and the promises he's done, and the promises that he has for you, then you need to change today. We need to turn our eyes to Jesus. Let me tell you, the majority of this is meant for me. Let's close with some scripture today. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Acts 17:30 through 31, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. In that scripture, it says repent. In Romans 6:23, it says sin is death, but there's the free gift of God, and it's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So repent and come back to him if you need to today. And then Romans 10:9-10 and 13, maybe you don't know Christ today. Maybe the Spirit's been working on you for a while. It's nothing that you can do to save yourselves. There's nothing I can do, nothing I can say to save you. Nothing your family can do to save you, but Christ can. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if the Spirit is calling you to Jesus right now, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You are saved. One last scripture, Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Church, today, hear me. We got to wake up. We're in a battle. Let me tell you something else here, guys. Listen, the enemy right now is not someone in this room. It's not a family member that's done you wrong. That's not the enemy. And listen, the next thing I'm about to say, if you get upset, email Devin, not me. Devin at Decatur City Church. .com, or citychurchdecatur.com, sorry about that. So email Devin, not me. The Democrats, they're not your enemy. The Republicans are not your enemy. Listen, I know there's a lot to this when you're talking about policies, things like that. I get it. But listen, inherently, those people are not your enemy. You know who the enemy is? Satan is your enemy. He wants to divide us, and he wants to conquer us. He wants to kill us. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy. Listen, that people group, whatever people group just came in your head, and there's all sorts of people groups that's been in the news, they're not your enemy. The enemy is your enemy. Jesus Christ has called us to love him, love God, and then do what? Love who? Our neighbors, right? To love others. Okay, we need to think about that today as we walk out of here. The enemy is out to get us. So my question to you today as I close is, are we going to walk out of here and live the same life as before? Are we just going to go through the motions? Or are we going to be a changed people? Now listen, if you've got it together, because I certainly don't, and listen, if you're in the Word, if you're living intentionally, listen, keep up the good fight. Keep at it. For others of us today, my first question to you would be, do you need to wake up? Do you need to wake up? Do you need to stop going through the motions? And if so, are you going to wake up and actually change? I can't tell you how many times in my life and in my adult life I've said, God, I'm going to change. But you know what? I was trying to live my own self-righteousness. I didn't come to the Father. I didn't run to the Father like the psalm that we heard before I came up here said. I need to run to the Father, right? My heart needs a surgeon, and I have it in Jesus. He can change me. Here's the thing. Are you going to wake up tomorrow and be living the same life you did today, or are you going to be intentional? Though we are saved through Christ and what he has done, we must be intentional in how we live. City Church, be free and live. Choose to live in Christ. Choose to fall into him. Choose to lean into him. When you fall, when you fail, when you make a mistake, get up. Fight the enemy. Don't give up. Don't quit today. Don't believe the accusations of the devil. Believe the word of God. Fall into Jesus. He offers us life today. So many scriptures we read today about how Jesus has set us free, how God has set us free. Believe the word of God today. Be truly free today. Amen. Can we be free? Can we choose to live a life for Christ and be intentional? Yes, we can.